Hello, and welcome to my podcast. This is an audio version of my videos, available to make listening to my stuff in the background easier than YouTube makes it. But since my videos are primarily made for YouTube, there may be occasional references to visual materials. If you'd like this podcast ad-free, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/vicerhino. Please enjoy. Hello, and welcome to my channel. Vice Rhino here. Today, I'm looking at a Matt Powell video, because I wrote a few pages of script for a video responding to a Catholic apologist, but it was just too damn boring to continue. And I've responded to Mike Riddle, so you know that if I gave up because it was too boring, that's an impressive amount of boring. And so I may be swinging the pendulum a bit too far in the opposite direction to make up for it, but I decided to see what Matt Powell has been up to recently, and oh! It looks like he's been saying that we can't be descended from apes because we're more genetically similar to gorillas than to apes.
Think about this. We have more in common genetically in certain areas with a gorilla than with an ape.
Yep. Apparently Matty P is completely unaware that gorillas are apes. But the video I'm responding to now is called 10 Proofs Dinosaurs Lived Recently, Lethal Video Against Dino-to-Bird Evolution. Future Rhino cutting in, I actually highly recommend reading Matt's description for this video. It is legitimately one of the funniest pieces of fiction I have ever read. It's got everything from Matt claiming he had basketball scholarships to more than 40 schools, to him saying he gave up a future career as a professional basketball player in order to preach the gospel, to him claiming credit for destroying the raging atheist career after his Science Falsely So-Called video. It's so much fun. I've got a screenshot up so you can pause it and read it for yourself. As if Matt follows his normal MO, his video will be private for at least a few days after mine goes public, because he cares so much about sharing his message that he makes sure that larger audiences than his can't see it. So back to you, Past Rhino. So let's see what Matt has that disproves more than a century of paleontology.
Carbon-14 dating is a way of determining the age of certain archaeological artifacts of a biological origin up to about 50,000 years old.
Which is why we don't use carbon-14 for dating dinosaur bones. Off to a great start there, Maddie! Also, fun fact, but if the Earth was only 6,000 years old, then carbon-14 dating would only be useful up to a maximum age of 6,000 years, not 50,000. So in this case, even if Matt is correct about whatever argument he's about to make, that means that the universe is at least an order of magnitude older than he thinks it is.
So I'm just going to go ahead and ask the question, why is it then that we find carbon-14 inside of dinosaur bones that are supposedly 65 million years old?
Well, as far as I can tell, the answer to that question is we don't. Try as I might, the only thing I can find is a bunch of references on creationist sites to a paper by one Dr. Thomas Seiler that was apparently published but then retracted because somehow they missed before the initial publication that he was advocating for dinosaur bones that are less than 50,000 years old. And we can't have that, so obviously it was censored. I can't find the paper, the only references to the paper that I can find are on creationist sites, and they don't show the whole paper, just portions of the abstract. It all seems rather fishy to me. It's hard to even find any information on this Dr. Seiler guy, to the point where I've seen a number of people who went looking for this same paper suggest that he isn't even a real person, but was made up, possibly by Carl Baugh, to be someone with credentials to support creationism. The only Thomas Seiler I can find on Google Scholar is Thomas Benjamin Seiler, who seems to focus on water contamination issues rather than anything to do with evolution. Now, personally, I think Thomas Seiler is a real guy, because they claim that his PhD is in physics, but they have him publishing a paleontology paper, and it seems to me that if you're going to make up an authority figure to challenge the mainstream consensus, you'd have that figure be an expert in that field rather than something that is, at best, tangentially related. But either way, I honestly can't find anything about dinosaur bones having contained carbon-14 outside of this one single impossible-to-find paper that, even if it exists, was retracted. Now, I did actually eventually find a paper that was published in a journal called Research Open, which appears on Yale's list of potentially predatory publications, in which they purport to examine data obtained from a poster about dinosaur bones that contain carbon-14, a poster that is based on data supposedly found in this paper by Dr. Thomas Seiler, and a couple of the specimens on the poster were discovered by Carl Baugh, a creationist that is so blatantly dishonest that most other creationists try to keep their distance from him. I mean, creation.com even has a whole subheading on their creationist arguments to avoid page that essentially includes anything that originated from Carl Baugh. So, if the only source that I can find that even claims that carbon-14 was found in dinosaur bones is reliant on the work of a guy that not even other creationists trust to be reliable, then I'm not inclined to trust it either.
I'd like an answer to that. People say dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. Really? There's C14 inside the bones. According to this article, which is a scientific paper, it says that carbon-14 only lasts 50,000 years in any organism that it dies in.
In special circumstances, you can get back to 100,000 years, and that's mostly a result of the measurement precision and the accuracy of the calibration curve for the geographical area in which the sample was taken. But yes, we would not expect to find carbon-14 in dinosaur bones, and as far as I can tell, we don't. And the only creationists that even make that claim are you guys and Carl Baugh. And when it comes to the creationist hierarchy, thus far, you and Kent have managed to stay just above Carl Baugh, but it is pretty slim, so you probably don't want to start stooping to his level at this point if you want to maintain your position as only the second worst creationist organization.
And soft tissue. We find soft tissue in all of these dinosaur bones.
We find microscopic amounts of what appears to be soft tissue, yes. There's actually a really good video by John Perry of Stated Clearly that outlines the soft tissue saga, and as this is still an active area of research, John has been updating the description with new information as new studies are published. And fun fact, before the tissues could be described as anything resembling soft, they had to undergo a process known as demineralization. Basically, they had to give this soft tissue an acid bath to dissolve all the not soft bits before it could be described as soft. Now, with that preamble out of the way, please continue.
Blood cells with hemoglobin in the blood.
The hemoglobin is actually one of the key factors in the preservation of soft tissue, so put a pin in that for now.
But oh, it lasted millions of years. Anybody that believes that is gullible. You're a gullible person if you believe that.
Says the guy who believes that Confederate soldiers shot down pterodactyls because he saw a picture that was taken specifically to be a prop for the TV show Freaky Links. Also, in typical Powell-esque fashion, he can't even get the wrong story right, as he identifies the Union soldiers from the picture as Confederate soldiers. And worth mentioning is that there are two pictures. One is for the Freaky Links show, and the other one is of unknown origin, but we know that it's not authentic because of other details that don't quite match up with history, like the fact that all of the very obviously non-officer soldiers are wearing officers' belt buckles. But I doubt that Matt even knew that there were two pictures, so maybe I shouldn't give him extra ammunition.
Okay, does anybody in here remotely think that that's even possible for the soft tissue to last 65 million years?
The opinions of random people in your audience do not determine what is actually scientifically possible. For one thing, polling your live audience automatically introduces a sampling bias where the people you're polling already believe things like the Earth being only 6,000 years old. So if they don't think it's possible for the Earth to be the age that the Earth is, then I'm not going to hold their opinion on the viability of the preservation of tissues through the non-enzymatic cross-linking of pathways that stabilize the tissue in very high regard. I'd be willing to bet that none of them could even describe what I just said in the most rudimentary fashion. Actually, I'd be willing to bet that you don't even have a rudimentary understanding of what I just said. Not that I'm an expert, I'm not claiming to have any better than a rudimentary understanding myself, but at least I made the effort to get to rudimentary.
And here's how they answer that. Well, you see, it was contaminated.
Contamination with biofilm is one possibility, yes, though there are indications that this is not the case. Some of the soft tissues are of a variety that are not produced by cyanobacteria, which are the bacteria that would make up the biofilms, and so the contamination for those tissues would have to come from elsewhere. Still a possibility, but not as likely as if it had been tissue known to be produced by cyanobacteria.
What happens if you contaminate blood? It deteriorates worse.
That is not what they meant by contamination, Matt. God, you can't even be wrong, right? It's not that the blood got contaminated and that somehow preserved it better. The contamination idea is that the samples where the blood was found, or rather the soft tissues, they didn't actually find blood, and even soft tissue is a bit of a stretch, but I'll keep using it as it's the term that we all know. But the idea is that those tissues didn't originate from the dinosaur, they came later from either the activity of cyanobacteria or from cross-contamination with other materials in the lab that did the analysis.
It was contaminated. Do you know what a stupid argument that is?
The way you seem to understand it, yes, it is stupid. But since you don't seem to understand it, it's not actually stupid. The contamination argument relies heavily on the fact that the lab that processed the dinosaur bones also processed modern bones, and the peptide sequences that were identified as collagen in the dinosaur bones are identical to the peptide sequences from the collagen of modern ostrich bones. So this does one of two things. It either strengthens the idea that there was contamination in the lab and the soft tissue samples were actually from modern bones, or there was no contamination, and the fact that ostrich collagen is identical to both T-Rex collagen and Brachylophosaurus collagen indicates a very close evolutionary relationship between birds and dinosaurs. Either conclusion is really bad for the creationist case, and further research has strengthened the idea that it was not contaminated, meaning that birds are very closely related to dinosaurs. One might even say that they are modern theropods, because they are.
Oh, but it was fossil. The blood was fossilized. Wait a minute. You say a fossil takes 10,000 years to form.
No, a fossil is defined as the remains of an organism that are at least 10,000 years old, which does not mean that it took 10,000 years to form. Well, I mean, if we want to get pedantic, a fossil is a remnant impression or trace of an organism from a past geologic age. The current geologic age is the Holocene, which started about 11,700 years ago. What you're probably thinking of is the process of permineralization, in which the organic materials are replaced by minerals, a process that results in the type of fossils that are most commonly thought of as fossils by lay people. The permineralization process itself does not have to take a long time. There are actually circumstances where it can happen over the span of a few hours to a few days for some fish fossils found in Brazil. This is caused by bacteria using all the oxygen inside a rotting body, which turns the environment slightly acidic, thus hampering the growth of calcium carbonate crystals, but promoting the growth of calcium phosphate crystals, which are much smaller than calcium carbonate crystals and are able to grow much faster and preserve more intricate details than calcium carbonate. My point is, it doesn't take 10,000 years for a fossil to form. All fossils are just at least 10,000 years old.
Is blood going to sit there in the ground for 10,000 years, waiting to be fossilized?
No, it's not. That's not what anyone is saying.
No. They say, well, it's the method of the fossilization of the bone. The iron in the blood, then. Okay, great. Do you see organisms getting encapsulated by iron when they die in nature?
No, Matt, you don't. Again, this is not what anyone is saying. But I've already watched a little bit further in than this, so I know it's about to get way worse in a typical Powell fashion. So let's just give them a little bit more rope.
They say, well, if we put iron or blood in iron, it preserves the cells. That must have been how it lasted. This was found nowhere near iron deposits. This was not found near iron.
There it is. Remember that pin we have in hemoglobin? Time to take that pin out. Now, Matt almost had it right, which actually leads me to suspect that he knows where the iron comes from, but he's actively avoiding the real explanation and so is completely misrepresenting it for his target audience. But this is Matt Powell we're talking about. It can be really hard to parse out which parts of his presentations are him lying and which parts are him just being an idiot. So he said,
The iron in the blood, then.
Yes, Matt, it's iron in the blood. Blood contains iron. Hemoglobin is the molecule that carries the iron. Hemoglobin makes up the majority of the dry mass of a red blood cell. 96% of the dry mass of a mammalian red blood cell is hemoglobin, and the evidence suggests that this is even higher for dinosaurs. So the dead animal does not need to be encased in iron. It doesn't need to be in an iron deposit or near an iron deposit. But what happens is that as the hemoglobin molecules break down, the iron is released and then facilitates the cross-linking of other proteins that would otherwise not become cross-linked. In living tissue, cross-linking is destructive, but in dead tissue, cross-linking is a process that facilitates preservation, and iron is known to facilitate cross-linking. Cross-linking, to oversimplify it, is when there is a bond or short sequence of bonds that link multiple polymers together, the polymer in this case being collagen. Cross-linking is a key process in preservation. Formaldehyde, for instance, facilitates cross-linking, which is why it makes a great preservative. The curing of leather also relies on cross-linking. So, iron facilitates cross-linking facilitates preservation, and iron is found in blood. Now, collagen is a very robust substance all on its own. It can last upwards of 1 million years in the right conditions without any cross-linking to help it along. Add in cross-linking and it can last even longer. Protect it from exposure to the elements by encasing it in the middle of a bone, and it can last even longer still. And hey, guess where all the dinosaur soft tissue that we found is? In the middle of bones, where conditions are optimal for preservation.
And yes, even if you put dinosaur soft tissue in an airtight jar, and then put that airtight jar in another airtight jar in another airtight jar, it's going to deteriorate.
Have you done that experiment? More to the point, have you done that experiment and not simply used airtight jars, but instead tried to duplicate the conditions that the bone would have been found in at the time? Because researchers have done those experiments, and that's how we learned all this stuff about iron and preservation and cross-linking and whatnot. Also, as long as we're just keeping it as a thought experiment instead of, you know, actually going out and doing it, if the airtight jars are properly sterilized, I'm not sure it would deteriorate. Of course, I'm sure you'll bring up that the conditions that led to the preservation of soft tissue wouldn't have been sterile in the first place, but since we're using airtight jars instead of those conditions, I don't really think that's relevant.
Anybody that says that dinosaur soft tissue could last 65 million years, they are out of their mind. They are gullible people, period.
So, Mary Schweitzer, the paleontologist who originally discovered the soft tissue and has been pioneering the research into how it could be preserved for
65 million years,
is a gullible person? So, was she gullible when she made the discovery, or did she just become gullible when her research passed the point where it would be useful to creationists? Also, just for the record, lest Dr. Schweitzer be accused of just wanting to prove millions of years in order to disprove God or some nonsense, here's what she thinks of the Christian God.
I am a Christian. I love the Lord. My God has gotten so much bigger the bigger I study science.
And if you vouch for that, you are a gullible person. If you really believe that.
Matt, you are the guy who is on record talking about the air in space, Confederates shooting down pterodactyls, thinking that T-Rex arms evolved into chicken legs instead of, you know, the legs evolving into the legs. You know what? I'm just going to play the montage.
But in space, wouldn't it be a different scenario based on the fact that, you know, the space and the air in the space is much different than the air we have here?
That out of his mouth go burning lamps and sparks of fire leap out. The dinosaurs they discovered have, the dragons they've discovered have chambers in the back of their head. It's where they can breathe fire. But that's just a couple things. I mean,
if it's about survival of the fittest and we evolved from African Americans into other Americans, what about the African Americans that are still alive today?
Well, I don't see anything wrong with quote mining. I believe if we study history, you know, the Confederates were able to shoot pterodactyls.
T-Rex, they had short, stubby arms. And apparently now the chicken's able to do a handstand with those arms.
Think about this. We have more in common genetically in certain areas with a gorilla than with an ape. Yet they say genetically we evolved from apes. We can tell based on genetics.
Honestly, John, I don't know a ton of technical terms. I'm very simple when it comes to science. I just enjoy simple science.
Yeah, the person who said all of those things should not be calling other people gullible. It'd be one thing if you publicly came out and corrected yourself when you're found to be in error. I could respect that. But usually your reaction is to either double down or just completely ignore the correction and, at best, avoid the same criticism in the future by just moving on to the next idiotic argument and leaving that one in the dust pile. And I guess you're running out of places to move with those arguments, given that you now seem to be borrowing from bottom-of-the-barrel Baugh.
They say, well, that's not enough evidence. I need cross-examined evidence. You need to be able to cross-examine. What about the dinosaur tracks that are 65 million years old in the old time strata? Oh, really? Is it just a coincidence that we find man tracks with dinosaur tracks in these layers that you say are 65 million years old?
The photo that Matt is showing to support this comes from the Paluxy River tracks in Texas. Let's see what Answers in Genesis has to say about these tracks. Quote, Given the ambiguity of the evidence and the fact that much of what may have once been present is no longer available for study, we do not believe those claims of coexisting human and dinosaur prints are wholly supportable. Dr. John Morris in 1986 reported similar conclusions, deciding, quote within a quote, it would now be improper for creationists to continue using the Paluxy data as evidence against evolution unless further research brings new facts to light, end quote. Now, what about the Institute for Creation Research? What do they say about them? Quote, even though it would now be improper for creationists to continue to use the Paluxy data as evidence against evolution, in the light of these questions, there is still much that is not known about the tracks and continued research is in order. End quote. Okay, how about creation.com? Quote, although undoubtedly tempting, the finding of indisputable human footprints synchronous with dinosaur tracks remains an elusive quest. Furthermore, it could be potentially harmful if track finds are not properly dealt with, as has previously happened, see the Paluxy River controversy, end quote. Congratulations, Matt, you have now graduated to the point where you are using arguments that are so bad that I can refute them with nothing but creationist sources.
I was in a debate with Dr. Kenny Rhodes from Reasons to Believe, and I brought this up to him, right? And he looked at me, he goes, well, even though it looks like a man footprint, and anatomically it may be the same, how do you know there wasn't a creature that looked just like a man?
And if that was what he actually said, which I doubt, that's a bad explanation, which is kind of to be expected when you go to someone with a PhD in theology and ask them about paleontology. Future Rhino cutting in again. I found the debate, and, well, he does say that it may have been something that leaves similar footprints as humans. He did outright deny the idea that it is something that looks like a human, just that it might be something that has a foot like a human.
But also you're assuming that some other animal didn't have a foot like man. So, I mean,
so you think that there was an animal that existed that looked like a man, but wasn't a man, just happened to have five toes?
No, any animal could have had a foot that looked like human feet. That doesn't mean that a human made something.
And then he went on to point out that if these footprints were indeed genuine, the scientist who discovered them would easily become one of the most famous scientists of history and would no doubt make a fortune off the discovery, but for some reason they are only ever put forward by obviously biased creationist non-scientists, a point at which Matt Powell had to fall back onto his conspiracy theory thinking about how if any scientist publicly admitted to these being genuine, they'd lose all their funding.
If this is true, then why aren't there any scientists jumping on that, shaking up the apple cart, and becoming rich and famous because they've been able to prove that dinosaurs lived until human beings showed up?
Well, because they would lose all their funding. Remember, evolution and their theory is the only theory that's protected by law. So people.
With that out of the way, back to you, Past Rhino. If you were to do the unthinkable and actually ask a paleontologist about this paleontological question, they would tell you that the tracks that are still in situ, that is, they are still in their original locations, are likely the result of the erosion of the toe prints of a theropod dinosaur, a conclusion that is supported by the fact that clear trackways often start with indistinct, vaguely human-looking prints that morph into the tridactyl theropod prints as the track continues. So, unless you want to argue that these ancient humans were anamorphs or something, it seems more likely that the theropod tracks just eroded in such a way as to leave vaguely human-like impressions behind. But of course, Matt is showing a print that clearly looks human. That is obviously not just an eroded theropod track. And there are several such prints. But do you know what all those prints have in common? They are not in situ. That is, they are slabs of rock that have been removed from the area, and none of them were done so in a properly documented manner. Also, I have yet to see one that looks realistically like a foot. They usually look more like an attempt at a carving of a foot by someone who's not really great at carving feet. Almost like they were carved rather than being actual footprints.
Talk about believing things without evidence.
Yeah, I'll agree that a creature existing 65 million years ago that has human-looking feet is an unevidenced belief. But as is typical with Matt, he's taking one statement from someone who is obviously not an expert in that field, and then trying to pretend that that statement represents the consensus of opinion of the experts.
Believing, it is unbelievable what unbelievers will believe to remain unbelievers. Unbelievable.
See? Now, who was it that you said made this statement about the footprints?
I was in a debate with Dr. Kenny Rhodes from Reasons to Believe.
But now you're saying that this is what the guy from an organization that's literally called Reasons to Believe said in order that he might remain an unbeliever? The Reasons to Believe mission statement is to make every effort to help people discover that sound reason and scientific research consistently affirm the truth of the Bible and the good news it reveals. And you're trying to tell me that a guy representing that organization is desperate to come up with anything to latch onto so that he can remain an unbeliever?
And don't get angry at me over that. Don't get angry at me for telling you the facts.
Fact. Dr. Kenny Rhodes is a believer who represents an organization called Reasons to Believe. What you told us. Kenny Rhodes is an unbeliever who believes unbelievable things in order to remain an unbeliever. Somebody's lying here. Matt is the somebody.
For telling you the truth that you should have heard when you went to school and learned that the universe popped into existence by nothing with no God.
Whether the universe popped into existence by nothing with not God, or whether a God created the universe, is completely irrelevant when discussing the evidence that humans lived alongside dinosaurs. The fact of the matter is that there is no evidence to suggest such coexistence, and there is a plethora of evidence against it. You are free to believe, as Dr. Rhodes does, that God created the universe, if you like. There is no evidence to support that, but you're free to believe it. But the idea that humans and dinosaurs coexisted is just factually incorrect, whether you like it or not.
Folks, the public school system is completely absurd what they're teaching. Monkeys surfing, dinosaurs farting to death, squids and octopi coming from outer space. Look.
Monkeys surfing is a result of Matt reading popular news article headlines and not reading any further than the headline to learn that it's actually referring to a vegetation raft that carried a breeding population of monkeys. Something that is not only possible, but is also the creationist explanation for how a lot of the animals got to their proper continents after Noah's flood. So even if you want to remain a young Earth creationist, you must accept some form of that hypothesis. Dinosaurs farting themselves to death is a complete misunderstanding of what, again, appears to be Matt just reading no further than the headlines. There was some research done not too long ago about how the amount of methane that would have been produced by animals the size of large dinosaurs would have been enough to have a measurable impact on the climate, but nobody said that it's what killed the dinosaurs off. Well, no, creationists said that, but nobody involved in the actual research said that. And the space octopus thing was one paper that is pretty much universally panned by the scientific community. So two of these might be taught in public schools in one form or another, but definitely not in the way that Matt is presenting them, while the other one is most definitely not taught in public schools. I think Matt is the perfect example of the harm that can be done by writing overly clickbait-style headlines. He doesn't bother to read past them and thinks that they accurately represent the scientific consensus on these matters.
Their rescue devices are weak, and you always need to point that out. If you're in a debate with them, point it out. It's a very weak argument.
Yes, your straw men of the evolutionist arguments are indeed quite weak. That's kind of the whole point of a straw man. You can't actually attack the real argument, so you build an inferior version of the argument in order that you might seem strong by attacking these weak arguments that aren't actually the real arguments.
Be respectful, but just point out it's a weak argument.
Matt telling other people to be respectful is quite the joke. Was it respectful, Matt, when you deceptively edited the video of someone who believes in God in order to remove her references to God so that you could call her an atheist and attack her points as if they were of the atheist position? Was it respectful for you to call Dr. Rhodes an unbeliever when he literally works for an organization called Reasons to Believe?
And in some cases, we find man footprints on top of the dinosaur footprint.
No, in that case, the dinosaur footprint is the one that's on top, in the sense that if this were actually real, the human print would have been laid down first, with the dino print coming after it. The problem is, there's no evidence to suggest that this particular print is real. Not only is the human print, again, rather cartoonish in nature, with many features that individually would disqualify it from being considered legitimate, and in conjunction point conclusively to it not being legit, but also, this is, again, a print that is not in situ. The story goes that the dinosaur print was found in already loose rock by the amateur archaeologist Alvis Delk, who did not notice the human print for 8 years. And upon noticing the human print, rather than turn it over to experts for examination, he sold it to Carl Baugh for his Creation Evidence Museum. There are so many red flags in how this footprint came to be used as evidence for creationism that Melania Trump tried to decorate the White House trees with them.
I'm sorry, that means they existed at the same time. You cannot deny that. That's another piece of evidence there. It's cross-examined.
Nope, that one is evidence that, best case scenario here, Carl Baugh is a gullible rube that Delk decided he could make some money off of. Worst case scenario, Baugh was in on it the whole time.
they say, well, you know, grass didn't evolve till 55 million years ago. Dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago, so dinosaurs never saw grass.
This point doesn't matter, so I'm just going to skip it. To summarize, grass was not thought to have evolved until 55 million years ago, because that was the earliest evidence that we had found for grass existing in the fossil record. Then we found fossilized dino poop that contained evidence for grass, so the date for when grass evolved was revised. And I apologize. I'm pretty sure it's my fault that Matt gets stuck on this point so often, because I did make a bit of a big deal about dinosaurs not eating grass when responding to Matt claiming that Behemoth was a sauropod, and the Bible says that Behemoth ate grass. Then I learned new information and revised my position to accommodate this new information, but Matt thinks that this is somehow a gotcha, as if there aren't a bunch of other problems with the interpretation of Behemoth as a sauropod. The grass thing was actually the least important point against that interpretation. He probably got all excited because for the first time ever, he found actual real scientific sources that demonstrate that one of his detractors was wrong about something. Sucks for him that the thing I was wrong about doesn't actually affect anything, though. And I wouldn't be me if I didn't take this opportunity to point out that the verse that says Behemoth moves his tail like a cedar actually appears to be a biblical dick joke, so an alternate translation could be he waves his huge tree-sized dick around.
Precambrian rock layers are supposedly the oldest layers that there are. It's where the jellyfish that we all descended from originated.
That's the most scientifically accurate thing I've ever heard Matt Powell say. Congratulations! Next time, try to say it with less derision, then you won't look like as much of an idiot.
The sponge. Our ancestor, the great-great-great-grandfather SpongeBob.
And there we go, off the rails again. Which is it, Matt, jellyfish or sponge? Because studying our ancestry from that far back is a difficult thing to do, and you could probably find research suggesting either. But I mean, you're Kent Hovind's boy now, so you gotta use the SpongeBob thing that he loves so dearly.
That's really what they believe. We're arguing against people that believe in literal Toon Network.
Are you not aware that sea sponges are a real thing? Like, you're talking as if you think sponges don't exist. I wouldn't put that past you, but, like, SpongeBob the Sponge is based on Sponges the Organism. He's just a cartoon version of them. Like, just because there's a cartoon doesn't mean that people who think that sponges are real believe that they are all like SpongeBob.
That is your ancestor. Nickelodeon. SpongeBob. That's literally what we're arguing against.
No, that's not what you're arguing against. That's what you think you're arguing against because you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
People say, how do you always win the debates?
Oh, wait, you serious? Let me laugh even harder.
I'm arguing against people that, for lack of a better word, idiots.
Yep, it's the people who believe in evolution that are the idiots in this scenario.
The space and the air in the space is much different than the air we have here. The dragons they discovered have chambers in the back of their head so they can breathe fire. But that's just a couple things. I mean,
we evolved from African Americans into other Americans. What about the African Americans that are still alive today?
Well, I don't see anything wrong with quote mining. You know, the Confederates were able to shoot pterodactyls.
And apparently now the chicken's able to do a handstand with those arms. We have more in common genetically in certain areas with a gorilla than with an ape.
I'm very simple when it comes to science. I just enjoy simple science.
I don't mean to say that to be rude.
Yes, you do. You can't call someone an idiot and then claim not to be rude about it. Calling people idiots is a rude thing to do, even when it's true. When I called you an idiot, that was rude, because that's the nature of insults. There's no such thing as a polite insult. So just own the fact that you're being rude, as I have done here, and move on. Also, I usually try not to insult people, but in some cases I feel that it's justified, and Powell is most definitely one of those cases. And just for kicks, remember a few minutes ago when he said to be respectful?
Be respectful.
Make up your mind, Matt. Should people be respectful, or is it okay to call people idiots? Or is this a do-as-I-say-not-as-I-do scenario?
But sometimes you have to argue with literal idiots.
Which appears to be what I'm doing right now.
Precambrian is before dinosaurs existed. Well, we find bird tracks before dinosaurs.
The oldest potential bird tracks to be found thus far are about 140 million years old. Pretty damn old for bird tracks, to be sure, but not even close to Precambrian. As to your Precambrian bird footprints, I can't find any articles about them on any creation sites, either supporting or discrediting them. I seem to recall something about them having been carved by a Native American tribe, but I can't even find that. So take that with a grain of Lot's wife.
Even existed in the Precambrian rock layers. Wait a minute, didn't dinosaurs turn into birds?
Kind of. Birds are the last remaining dinosaurs, but not all dinosaurs, like, morphed into birds like you're probably picturing.
Why is it that there are bird tracks on the very bottom layers?
There aren't.
Here is what they say. This is what Charles Lyell said about these bird tracks.
Okay, there we are. Thanks for that picture. I remember this one now. This is the one where Charles Lyell described them as being Native American carvings, for a number of reasons, including the track as a whole being too symmetrical, the feet themselves being too asymmetrical, the angle of the toes not being right, the length of the toes not being right, the sandstone that they were preserved in not being the kind of stone where footprints are likely to be preserved, and that they are found in rock that predates any animals that would have made them. I'm sure Matt's about to ignore all the other details about how we know these are man-made and just focus on the last bit about them being in the wrong rock layer.
Remember, this is millions of years before birds existed, supposedly. Charles Lyell said that these tracks were produced. They weren't real bird tracks.
Yeah, people carve things sometimes, and we have good reason to believe that these were carvings. What's the problem with that?
It's Native American Indians that got bored and decided to draw some tracks in the Precambrian rock layers. That's literally what they're saying.
Well, I mean, you added the got bored part. Why does boredom factor into it? Humans draw stuff and carve stuff all the time. Why is that so unbelievable in this instance?
Stop saying Christians are gullible for believing the Bible, a book written by goat herders. What's wrong with a bunch of goat herders? Last I checked, that was actually a pretty good occupation back then, before electricity.
Okay, I'm not fond of that whole "the Bible was written by a bunch of goat herders" line, as the authors of the Bible were likely highly educated, for the time, rabbis, but this isn't the stellar defense you think it is. Primitive people were primitive, therefore the book written by primitive people was accurately describing modern science is a laughably weird take.
So stop spewing your own confusion with yourself onto all of Christianity. We don't want it. It's the fallacy of false equivalence.
It's not a false equivalence, it's a genetic fallacy, where you're dismissing an idea because of where it came from rather than looking at its merits, or lack thereof.
Are chickens related to the T-Rex? This is in a kid's book.
Because you get all the most nuanced scientific positions from children's books, am I right?
Question: are chickens related to the T-Rex? Answer: yes. Science has revealed compelling evidence that the T-Rex actually evolved into a chicken.
Yeah, see, that's a good example. That's a statement that is lacking in nuance. It's more that the T-Rex and chickens share a common ancestor. They are both theropod dinosaurs, at any rate.
You know what we continuously find in the fossil record? Dinosaurs with birds in their stomachs.
I don't really care enough about this claim to bother investigating it, because it doesn't matter. Birds are a category of theropod that may well have existed simultaneously with other theropods. One type of theropod eating another type of theropod doesn't mean that the second type of theropod isn't a theropod. Hell, start a fish tank sometime and put some guppies in it. Do you know what you will often find in the stomachs of the guppies? Other guppies. Does that mean that the baby guppies in the fish tank were not descended from the older ones because the older ones ate some of their siblings? Of course not. That would be, to use a phrase that Matt is so fond of, idiotic.
You bring this up to them, and they don't have a clue of what you're talking about.
Matt, your inability to coherently communicate your ideas to people isn't the slam dunk against evolution that you seem to think it is. Now, I don't think he makes any significant points in the rest of it, but there is one more part that I want to touch on, so let's skip ahead to that and then be done with him.
You know, I'm glad that it is an old book and that it's been around for a long time. You're admitting by saying it's an old book that it is historic, that it is reliable.
No, Matt. Age does not equal reliability. Something is not more reliable because it's older. And if you don't believe me, then you'd better convert to Hinduism now, because the Rig Veda is the oldest religious text that is still in use in the world, which maintains any kind of continuity. Or if we're just going to go with ancient religion, then maybe go with the ancient Mesopotamian religions that we have documentation for. Start worshipping the sun god Shamash, since that's who Hammurabi got his law code from in a story that the Bible stole and adapted into the Moses story. Like, this is another spot where even creationists will often grudgingly admit that things like the Epic of Gilgamesh predate the Bible. So if your argument is that the older text is the more reliable, then praise be to Anu, the father of all the gods. Well, that's it for this one. Today's comment of the day comes to us from Jacob Ostapowitz, who says, "Atheists do have purpose. That purpose is to test the faith of creationists and see if they can be fooled by peer-reviewed papers instead of observation or demonstration, not with Wino's special pleading." Well, that certainly is a sentence. Good job. Congratulations. Two sentences, actually. But yeah, atheists are totally just here to test your faith with our icky peer review and science and stuff. Because God just likes to be a dick, I guess. Thanks for watching. Special thanks as always to my patrons, iOS Tilt Bill Gamer, Bryn Pound, Clench Eastwood, Lynn Dobbs, Mark McManus, Mark Hetchum, and all the rest, who are the believers who are actually unbelievers who come up with unbelievable things like my channel in order to stay unbelievers. If you'd like to unbelievingly believe, you can join us on Patreon for as little as a dollar per week over at patreon.com/vicerhino. If you feel so inclined, you can also support the channel through direct donation or my Amazon wishlist. Links to social media, all the ways to support the channel, and to my other projects can be found at links.vicerhino.com. If for whatever reason you want to send me stuff, my P.O. Box address is in the description. See you next time!